11:55. Almost midnight. Enough time for one more story. One more story before 12. Just to keep us warm.
Hey everyone, it's Brock. So excited to tell you about our Fall Donation Platinum Level series. I'm coming back to the panel this fall to continue the Halloween retrospective series. Arnie Stewart and I started this back in 2009, and the three of us are returning to Haddonfield for the release of the new Halloween movie coming out this fall, once again called Halloween, once again starring Jamie Lee Curtis. This show will be available on our regular podcast feed, which is available every Tuesday. But as Jamie Lee is coming back to the Halloween series for the first time in 20 years, we thought this would be a good opportunity to explore her early career, how she became one of the greatest scream queens ever. We'll be reviewing the three horror movies she did after the original Halloween was released, all released in 1980, The Fog, Prom Night, and Terror Train, at the platinum level of our donation series. I'll tell you more about how you can become a Platinum Series member in a moment, but first, here's a preview of the first show, The Fog.
So, let's get down to business.
And welcome, Platinum Level donors. You went big this Halloween season. We're going to reward you with three movies from 1980, an explosion of horror in that year. Fog was the first, and it was the first to establish Jamie Lee Curtis as an icon of horror.
Well, Halloween was the first.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that Jamie Lee Curtis, after Halloween became the biggest independent film of all time, thought the phone would be ringing off the hook. She said, "I am gonna be big," and the next gig she booked was The Love Boat with her mom.
She fell in love with her mom? Oh, man.
It makes it even worse, doesn't it? And an episode of Charlie's Angels. The truth is, she was nobody's queen after Halloween, was considered to be John Carpenter's achievement, and she didn't get a lot of credit for the success of that movie. She came back to do horror movies to establish any kind of film cred.
Now, Stuart, you had mentioned Jamie Lee Curtis was a scream queen years and years ago when we did Halloween, and I didn't know her as a scream queen at all. My first exposure to her was when she was exposed in Trading Places, and then later on, of course, Fish Called Wanda, my wife and I love that movie. We quote it still to this day. And then who saw True Lies coming? My goodness, what a great reinvention after Blue Steel. She keeps reinventing herself. Freaky Friday as a mom again in the late 90s. So I know her from everything else. And of course, I knew she was in Halloween, but until I watched it with you guys, I had no idea about this whole other life she had. This woman is able to do a lot of different genres, and I don't think she gets enough credit for it.
Yeah, and what I love about Jamie Lee Curtis is that when she gives interviews, she's very frank. She'll tell you what she really thinks, and she is very upfront about saying it wasn't like she loved horror movies. It wasn't like she wanted to follow in her mom's footstep and be the next generation screen queen because her mom did Psycho. It just was the cards that were dealt to her at first. She wanted to be an actress. And you got to keep in mind, this blew my mind. I had forgotten this. She was only 19 years old when she did Halloween. I mean, she was barely out of high school.
And now she's doing Activia commercials.
And printing children's books. She's a best-selling author.
Well, I look forward to seeing her and Evangeline Lilly on the book tour together. But
yeah, she continues her streak of just trying things different and trying things new, and she's had very little failure to go with many of her successes, which is to her credit.
I like Jamie Lee. I think she's an affable personality. She does pick roles I would never want to see her in, and she does pick roles for movies I'd never want to see, period. But when she works well. I can never think of her giving a bad performance, even if I've seen her in some really shitty films.
Give me an example of a shitty film you saw with Jamie Lee Curtis, please.
Perfect.
That comes to mind, but did you ever actually watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me? It's an aerobics movie from the 80s? She's doing Jane Fonda? Hell yes, I saw it.
And I saw Blue Steel, and it was not good.
And I saw You Again, which she starred in with Sigourney Weaver, which both she and Sigourney deserve much better than that. I would like to see them do another movie together because I think they had good chemistry, but that script was putrid.
And to be honest, I don't care for My Girl or My Girl 2. I mean,
she's in that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's the Dan Aykroyd. You forget that there's adults in those movies, but yeah, she's in that, and she was in Beverly Hills Chihuahua. She might have embarrassed herself a little bit in Beverly Hills Chihuahua, to be honest. I did see that too.
Of course, we're talking about her now, and we're doing this Platinum series now because she's agreed to go back to her roots. She already did this. Halloween 20-year anniversary, she came back. It was a big deal. She liked it so much, she even did a cameo in the next one and killed herself off. We thought she was done with the Halloween franchise, but lo and behold, the 40th anniversary of Halloween is coming, and with it, a direct sequel to the original Halloween that basically forgets everything else in the series, which is exciting. Keep in mind, what that means is also she is no longer Michael Myers' sister.
I know, it's easy to forget that, especially with the TV cut that retroactively put in scenes about her being the sister. But yeah, let's go back in time to 1980, and she is a nobody. The last time we would have seen her is Buck Rogers in a guest spot.
Circus of the Stars. I think she was behind Brooke Shields walking across glass or something. You know, when celebrities had to do those embarrassing circus tricks, she did one of those too.
But yes, The Fog is something that I would look at as a John Carpenter film more than a Jamie Lee Curtis film. John Carpenter, again, we are having another installment in the longest stretched out retrospective series in our entire history as we go through the man's oeuvre about one film per year.
Yeah, we like John Carpenter here, although that's not to say that we always love every film that he does, but I have a long affinity for The Fog that goes all the way back to childhood. The three essential films in my mind, the ones that I always watched on cable when I was a child, was Halloween, The Fog, and The Thing. Those were the trilogy that I must have seen a dozen times.
For me, it was pretty much Christine, and Halloween was where I knew him from best, but I have seen so many of his films. It's weird, though. Since Halloween, you said that was his big success. He's the one who got the glory from it.
Yeah.
He went to television himself.
Well, keep in mind, when he was making Halloween, it's not like he said, hey, I'm a big time, let me go make TV movies. He made Halloween thinking nobody would see it. Nobody had any expectation that that little $300,000 movie was going to do anything. He had already shot some of those TV movies, and they aired after Halloween.
Yeah, I just knew he shot Elvis with Kurt Russell after Halloween in this period because they talked a lot about Elvis in their commentary for Big Trouble in Little China, but I've never seen Elvis.
Yeah, it's kind of a fluke that Carpenter ended up being a horror master. It's only really because Halloween hit, but yeah, the TV movies he did, the other stuff he was involved in, he probably would have still been a sci-fi geek genre guy, but Halloween kind of steered him in the direction of The Fog. The reason why he followed up Halloween with a ghost story was that's what he could get money for. Avco said, we're going to give you a two-picture deal. He really wanted to make Escape from New York, but first he was going to make another horror film.
I have never heard of The Fog until you guys asked me to do this retrospective on Jamie Lee Curtis. And while we're talking about John Carpenter's, I know him by name mostly. I've seen a lot of his movies, but never when I was a child watching the movies when you guys talk about on cable, John Carpenter's movies were never the ones I was turning on, which should not come to no surprise to anyone listening to Now Playing for all these years, because I haven't seen a lot of these horror franchises before we started reviewing them.
Yeah, it's good to have you back in the role of horror newbie.
Yeah, completely. For this entire trilogy here, I have not seen any of these movies before and don't have the affinity of knowing that John Carpenter was involved, that whole aspect of it, besides the little I do know of him from Starman, Escape from New York, Big Trouble in China, etc.
I've seen about 15, 20 minutes of The Fog once. I was at a horror festival with Adrian Barbeau and Tom Atkins. I remember specifically going to the Save Carnival rally hosted by Adrian Barbeau. I've never seen a more pathetic rally in my life. There were like seven of us like, yay, HBO, bring it back. We're really empty in here. But they had a film festival. They started off by showing Bruce Campbell's The Man with the Screaming Brain. And so the second film in the double feature was The Fog. And I'd never seen The Fog. And I'm like, what better way to see it than at a horror festival surrounded by a bunch of fans? I love John Carpenter. Let's see this movie. Well, this was in Chicago, specifically Rosemont. And we happen to be in the landing path of O'Hare. So every 5 minutes, an airplane would start to land and you couldn't hear shit. Plus, since we started at sundown in summer with the man with the screaming brain, it was 12:30 in the morning. I was tired. I couldn't hear this movie, but man, it looked cool. So I decided to savor the experience and watch it under better circumstances, left the horror festival, and was like, yep, I'm going to get to it. Fast forward probably a decade, here we are.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we could finally catch up. And again, this one was a favorite of mine. It's kind of funny that we're here to talk about Jamie Lee Curtis in The Fog, because I always forgot that she was in it. When you ask me, think of The Fog, I think of the little kid in his bedroom with the monsters coming in with their hooks, and I think about Adrian Barbeau, who is unarguably the bigger featured player in this movie, in part because she had just become Mrs. Carpenter. She had just married the director, and he conceived this part for her. It's not like he didn't want Jamie to be in the movie. He was happy that he could still get her, but I do think that he was looking at projects to feature his wife. She would also be in Escape from New York, and they would have a working relationship for the next couple years.
He brought a lot of people back, though. I mean, if you look at the names that I've come to know, not just from Halloween, but I think they started there, but co-writer Deborah Hill is back.
Yeah, Deborah Hill was his former girlfriend. So this was a source of tension on this set that the new wife was getting notes from the old ball and chain. And Jamie Lee Curtis basically suggested that it reminded her a lot of her parents' divorce. That she said that, you know, I love Deborah and I love John, and it was just awkward to see them on this set, which had numerous problems. But yes, populated with Minnie Carpenter. He had like a whole gang that just liked working with him, and Tommy Lee Wallace is here, and the special effects guy, Rob Bottin, sure.
And Tommy Lee Wallace's wife, Nancy Loomis, who I think she only acted in films that Tommy Lee Wallace had a part in.
Yeah, she was the star of Assault on Precinct 13 and did a supporting turn in Halloween.
Of course, Tom Atkins. We have loved him since Halloween 3, right? That review?
Well, I know him better as Huntsucker from Lethal Weapon, but yes, I always forget that he's in these movies.
Yeah, Tom Atkins definitely came out with Carpenter. And in fact, this movie was inspired by the same story that apparently The Fog and Halloween 3 have a Stonehenge connection. Both stories were conceived shortly after John Carpenter and then girlfriend Deborah Hill visited Stonehenge, looked out and saw a fog in the distance and said, "Wonder what's in that? That would be interesting to explore in a movie. What if we made the killer the fog?" And I do want to point out something that's clear. Now that you've pointed out, Arnie, we've covered a lot of Carpenter. Something that comes up again and again that just crystallized for me now that we've reached the fog is Carpenter likes faceless villains. If you think about it, the gang and Assault on Precinct 13, Michael Myers is referred to as the Shape and we don't see his face. Liquid Satan in Prince of Darkness, the alien that changed shape in The Thing.
Christine, just a car with a possible spirit.
Yeah, he's fascinated by the way evil can manifest, but that we never see the evil feels like a Lovecraftian touch or an Edgar Allan Poe kind of touch. And it's kind of an interesting theme here. Now that he's going to actually make Fog the stand-in for evil, that may be the most amorphous of all of them.
You gotta think Stephen King's just pissed, right? He had to settle for the mist when he obviously wanted a fog.
And who wrote what first?
The Mist was actually first published in 1980. But he, of course, knew Carpenter. They'd go on to work together.
They did?
Christine.
I always forget he made that, honestly. I know that's your go-to Arnie, but I always forget that one.
It has Arnie in it! It's what I had Carpenter sign when I met him!
I'm ready to talk about The Fog. Arnie, how about a plot summary? Now, if you want to hear the rest of this conversation, go to nowplayingpodcast.com and click on the banner at the top of our homepage where you can find all the information about how you can donate to Now Playing's Fall 2018, Winter 2019 donation drive. As you know, we have a new free show every week at nowplayingpodcast.com. But without our donation drives, we could not keep that going. We are backed only by donations from listeners like you. And as our thank you, For your donations, we have bonus podcasts, and we have a variety of different levels of which you can donate to our show. If you donate $10 or more during our donation drive between September 10th, 2018 and March 31st, 2019, $10 or more is our silver level, and you get the Three Mothers series by Dario Argento. And included there are five shows: Suspiria from 1976, Inferno, The Mother of Tears, Phenomena, aka Creepers, and the remake of Suspiria from 2018. The gold level is at $30 or more, and you will get all of the silver level podcasts, plus 11 additional ones. The gold level is, get this, M. Night Shyamalan Thrillers, going all the way from The Sixth Sense all the way to this January's Glass. Specifically, in the M. Night Shyamalan Thrillers series, you get the Academy Award-nominated The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs, The Village, Lady in the Water, The Happening, The Last Airbender, After Earth, The Visit, the surprise hit of last year's Split, and the follow-up, Glass. That's our gold level for $30 or more, plus the five for the silver level at 16 bonus podcasts. Which brings us to the platinum level that we're talking about today with our Jamie Lee Curtis Scream Queen of 1980 retrospective, or three movies. That's $40 or more, and you will get three additional movie reviews to the ones I just mentioned: The Fog, Prom Night, and Terror Train. And I'm going to be on these three podcasts, and I got to tell you, I'm so excited to be part of the Platinum series this year. But wait, there is more. Beyond Platinum, two additional levels this donation drive: Frosty and Lucky Clover. The Frosty level starts at $50 or more. You get 25 bonus podcasts total. You get all the ones in the silver, Dario Argento. You get all the ones in the gold, M. Night Shyamalan. You get all the ones in the platinum, the Jamie Lee Curtis. And at $50 or more, the Frosty level, we're making available out of our vault the Simon Pegg Nick Frost series once again. The now playing team reviewed Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World's End, Paul, Attack the Block, and we'll be adding on to that series with Slaughterhouse Rules. And now playing will be reviewing Slaughterhouse Rules when it's released sometime in 2019. The same idea with our Lucky Clover level. The Leprechaun series is coming back out of the Now Playing vault. You can donate $60 or more, and you can hear our reviews of all the Leprechaun films: Leprechaun, Leprechaun 2, Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun 4, In Space, Leprechaun in the Hood, Leprechaun Back to the Hood, Leprechaun Origins, and Leprechaun Returns, the new Leprechaun movie that's coming out 2019. The Frosty level, you get a total of 25 bonus podcasts. If you go Lucky Clover, you'll get 33 bonus podcasts as our thank you. But as we've said before, any donation you're able to make, we are extremely grateful for, because we rely on you to keep our show going. You can donate through PayPal. We also have individual shows available through our Podbean site, or you can become a Now Playing patron on Podbean. These shows that we're talking about today, the Gold, Silver, Platinum, those are only available during our donation drive, but if you're a Now Playing patron, there are exclusive podcasts that only patrons hear, like Lego Batman, The Warriors, Galaxy Quest. All of this information is available on our homepage at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. I thank you again for your continued support and for listening to Now Playing. We'll be back next Tuesday with a full show for free on our regular feed. Talk to you soon.
Town sits around for 100 years and nothing happens, and then one night the whole place falls apart.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
I like what you said, but for your information, you lied.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with, and this podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created the film analyzed herein. All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review, and no infringement is intended.
Some asshole got drunk and started taking this 100-year-old business too seriously.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of, and may not be used without the express written permission of, Venganza Media Incorporated. Now playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2018, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
Suddenly as it had come, the fog lifted. We sailed back across the ocean and never came again. But it is told by the fishermen and their fathers and grandfathers that when the fog returns to Antonio Bay, the men at the bottom of the sea, out in the water by Spivey Point, will rise up and search for a campfire that led them to their dark and icy death.